Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just, for me, has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better, and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I am married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell, so you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
You know, I promised that I'd get that intro fixed. It's already to my graphic designer to get it done. So don't think I forgot from last week. This is Carol, the Coach, aka Carol Jurgensen Sheets, and I'm so glad to be with you today. You know, it is really come to a point where we all have to make some decisions. If you're a partner, you need to decide, what do I need to get healthy? You know, what do I need in terms of boundaries? What do I need for myself? What do I need to not be defined by partner betrayal? And if you're an addict, oh my gosh, what do I need to maintain and support a better sense of who I want to be? How can I gain more integrity, self-respect, respect for her or him? You know, what do I do to increase my recovery tools so I can work on my recovery? And perhaps the next thing would be, if in relationship, what can I do so that I can work on building back our relationship? All really important questions. And here's what I want you to know. If you are a sex addict in relationship, you do have to work hard. Now, if you're not a reader, I get that. You listen to podcasts, right? Maybe you attend intensives. Maybe you get walked through the process by somebody like me. I am actually doing a book study, and I am so excited about this. It's a book study / group, and it is for couples to actually be walked through the process of partner betrayal. What does that look like? And then, obviously, how do I grieve? How do we grieve together? How can I help the partner, support the partner as all sorts of things are happening? So I want to tell you, if you're interested in starting that book study with me, you got a little bit of time. You go to my Help Them Heal website, and you do that by going to Sex Help with Carol the Coach. It morphs into Help Them Heal. And then you look for, let me just go back. You look actually for workshops, and the drop-down box says couples workshops. And then we'll show you that book study that starts April 2nd. Couple book study with Carol the Coach, teaching you both how to heal your relationship after sexual betrayal. And we are actually doing several weeks of taking you through the book, helping you navigate what can I do to make the situation more safe. It's a 9-week course. It's 90 minutes, and it's incredibly affordable. So if you're interested, you have to register by March 25th to get the early bird special. Again, just go to www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach, then go to workshops, and then drop down box for the coupleship. I want to help you. I want to work with the two of you together, and I'm keeping this limited. We are going to get real and personal with each other, and I'm going to keep it safe. Now, that being said, there are so many opportunities for programming out there. I mean, that's the exciting thing, that truly what I know is that there are experts all over the world that can help you with your issues. And I actually, one of my mentors, Mari Lee, who helped write several books with Stephanie Carnes, for partners specifically, she contacted me and she said, Carol, you've got to meet these two incredible people. And she said, I want to introduce you because I want you to know what kind of programming they're offering and what they are doing with their own lives, the lives of partners and partners and sex addicts. I said workshops because they even offer programming that goes beyond that individual counseling and coaching. And so I want them to explain it, because it just looks phenomenal. And, of course, I want you to know that they have pretty much designated their lives to developing programming that's going to work specifically for you. So Josh and Charlene Lewis, welcome to Sex Help with Carol the Coach. I'm really excited to talk more about your return to intimacy concept. I mean, that's actually the name of your website. Glad to have both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I hear you all the time, and it's just really, really nice to be able to be a part of this.
Well, we believe in the same things. We believe in the recovery for sex addicts, the recovery / redefining for partners. I mean, I just said earlier before you came on, I do not want partners to be defined by partner betrayal. I want them to have a new life. I want them to have self-care and to work on things other than partner betrayal. But we got to get that brain safe, right? I mean, we've got to get it stabilized. It's so traumatic. So tell me about your life. I mean, you two have been doing this together for a long time. So who wants to go first?
My name's Freddie. You want to say?
Okay.
Well, my name is Josh, obviously. And I got into recovery when I was 26 years old. Mm. I had a little bit of an alcohol and substance abuse problem. And threw myself into 12-step recovery and just recovery in general. And, you know, the last thing that I thought might be possible would be not drinking. You know, I had tried so many different times, and, you know, within 3 to 5 months, the obsession to drink just vanished, and, you know, fortunately has not come back in 20 years.
Wow.
And so I became really involved in 12-step recovery. You know, I've been the recipient of so much love and care and support, and I think I began to have faith in the human race again, mm-hmm. you know, when I started going to meetings. And so sex addiction was my original core addiction, and I believe it came about because of sexual abuse and things that happened in early childhood. And, you know, there was so much shame attached to it that, and I think it really affected me, you know, as a teen growing up, just felt so much shame growing up. I believe that my alcoholism and drug use developed to mask and cope with that shame, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I got into recovery from alcohol and drugs, and down the way, about 10 years, you know, it came to my attention that maybe I would have to stop the pornography too. Now, before I had gotten into recovery, it was more than pornography. It was everything, escorts, strip clubs, whatever I could do. When I got married, and when I came into recovery, I said I would not do any of that. I remember like 3 weeks into recovery, I walked into a strip club and went straight to the bathroom, looked at myself in the mirror. I was like, you don't belong here, dude, and just turned around and left. That was the last time I had gone to a strip club. But Charlene had found me looking for pornography, and she's like, okay, that's it. You need to get help, or this is done. This part.
Wow, you knew your boundaries, huh, Charlene?
The funny, not so funny part about that is I was right in the middle of doing my CSAP modules. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, no, we are not going to go down this route.
Right.
Yeah, and then, so I immediately got a hold of a fantastic therapist. And, you know, I'd been in and out of therapy for a long time, but this therapist was great in that she specialized in addiction. Her name is Carol Clark. She's fantastic. But she did a lot of EMDR work with me, which I had never done. And that allowed me to re-experience and go back to deal with things a safe way, and I began to heal quite a bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so doing that and applying similar principles, you know, 12-step principles, and then, you know, discovering that there were some things that I loved about 12-step recovery for sex, so SLAA, and other things that I, you know, didn't like so much. And so I began to incorporate, you know, things that I had learned from therapy and from other 12-step fellowships. So anyway, recently, I think it was over COVID,
mm-hmm.
I decided, look, therapy has gone to Zoom for the most part,
mm-hmm.
and there's such a great need for help with sex addiction. I had been to 12-step meetings, men's meetings, and 11 of 13 of them on my count were still suffering with pornography addiction, and this is with, you know, over a decade in recovery, so I was like, this is a serious problem. So I was talking to Charlene about it, and I said, hey, you know, you have all of this literature and this stuff on a program, this recovery start kit, why don't we take a look at it? And it was a lot. It was really, really, I mean, incredible, but it was a very regimented, very well thought out program, but it was just a lot to wrap your head around. And it took me a couple of weeks to begin to think that I understood it, to find out that I didn't, to circle back several times. And, you know, initially I asked Charlene, why didn't you do this? This is awesome. And, you know, after a couple of weeks, I was like, okay, I see why you don't do this. You know, it would be a full-time job just trying to begin to understand it, never mind coordinating it. So.
Well, and I want to say that for our listening audience, that Recovery Start Kit, you can actually go to Amazon to buy it. Many of us, like I know I have many copies to get people started. It's not specifically cheap, but what it does is it breaks down what you need to maintain good recovery, and it is so self-reflective that, you know, you're mm-hmm. talking to your addict. You're talking to your addict every day. The addict is writing back to you. The addict is letting you know what the addict is going to do to get you to come back. And so it's just the most beautiful spiritual mm-hmm. program, even though it doesn't reference God, it does reference higher power. But it's an amazing, amazing kit. And let's face it, we all agree Patrick Carnes is a genius, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah.
Okay, so now I don't want to cut you short, but I'm thinking to myself, this is a lot of time that you were in recovery, both from alcoholism and sex addiction, and we know it's a whack-a-mole. when you stop one, the other one rears its ugly head, or if you thought you had control, you start minimizing and denying. You just start doing what Patrick Carnes says is that first recovery task of going into denial that therapists and coaches, recovery coaches, have to. And so, Charlene, you were really a deal breaker for him, weren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you set some hard and fast limits. And did you get into this field because of Josh's addiction?
No. So it's interesting. I kind of fell into this. I also am in recovery. I have 19 years sober from drugs and alcohol. And for me, maybe I had 2 years sober when I started. My passion was always helping addicts. I grew up with a dad that was an addict who got sober when I was 10. So I started working at South Miami Hospital addiction treatment program and a residential program with 2 years of my own sobriety. And I loved it. I loved doing groups. I loved doing individual therapy. And what I started noticing was that 99% of these people had sexual issues.
Mm-hmm.
But no one was talking about it in treatment. Mm-hmm. You know, it was almost like all we're focusing on is drugs and alcohol, and no one's talking about sex, masturbation, or even the people that were in treatment and were married and then had to go back home and have sober sex.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into getting certified in sex therapy. And I became a certified sex therapist, thinking that the sex therapy was going to have to do more with, like, trauma and addiction. It didn't as much. It was more erectile dysfunction and more of the medical sexual dysfunction. But I was already in it, so I was like, okay, it's going to be a good thing to have. But I really wanted to focus on the sexual addiction piece and sexual abuse. And my go-to is definitely trauma work. I love working with trauma and really seeing the hope come back and that darkness leave, and kind of like what you were saying about the partners, like really going from all of this pain to empowerment, you know, to being empowered to take their lives back. So I started doing the ICAP modules and became a certified sex addiction therapist. And I don't even work that much anymore with alcohol and drugs. I really just focus on sex addiction, couples work, and partners.
Well, and I know that, you know, we're smart enough to realize that there's a lot of good professionals that can work with substance abuse and alcohol. They may not have that sex addiction piece down, which really is integral to working on that other stuff. But I know you two are like me. There's not enough of us to go around. And so that specializing in that trauma, in sex addiction, in partner betrayal, I feel like we are so honored to get to work with populations that have had so much treatment-induced trauma.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't get it. You were so lucky to have Carol Clark doing that EMDR. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. So now, I want to just ask you a couple things, because a lot of people don't believe in sex addiction, not even today, or as the World Health Organization calls it, you know, compulsive problematic sexual behavioral disorder. I'm so happy that the criteria for sex addiction and for their diagnosis is exactly the same. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, how do you explain sex addiction to your clients? I mean, what do you see as true sex addiction? Josh, you referenced when you got rid of many of the deal-breaking behaviors, porn was still a part of your life. It was almost like for a while, titrated down or graduated down, but didn't realize the harmful effects of numbing with pornography.
Well, I can say that the way that I explain it to people that I work with is, you know, simply that, the way that I usually explain it is, can you stop and can you stay stopped? They're two very different things. And when we talk about, you know, oh, I can stop, no problem. You know, I stopped last week. I was able to stop. Can you regularly, whenever you choose to stop, generally when I work with guys, they can't honestly say yes, because, you know, and that's the thing, losing control, being powerless over it.
Well, and they do things like they fool themselves. They'll say, well, I figured out a way to do it without touching myself. Or, I don't have full erections. Or I didn't ejaculate. So I didn't do the real meal deal, so it doesn't count. And so we really have to help them understand the brain doesn't know the difference. The minute you're even thinking you're going to go and masturbate or look at porn, you're already in cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I take a little bit of a different approach at the beginning, in the sense of so many of my addicts or partners come in with so much shame just around being a sex addict and like the ickiness of sex for them, that I, especially at the beginning, really try to focus on that it's an intimacy disorder, right? So I go into like the attachment styles and how a lot of their upbringing, their childhood, they may have felt certain feelings, and it was natural to go to masturbation first or watching pornography first. And, you know, that Patrick Carnes, that together wires together, you know, that they didn't know any better when they were children. And it was a coping mechanism, you know, to get out of whatever feeling they were experiencing as a child. So I find when I focus a lot on that part, it kind of takes down the defenses of I'm this disgusting person, or even the battle of whether you can stop or can't stop. It's how are you using sex? How do you view sex? When do you use it? And they seem to, you know, be able to connect with that of like, oh, I have an intimacy disorder. And then we go into, yes, and it, you know, it comes out in this way with sex. For some people, it comes out with alcohol. For some people, with shopping. But I think that labeling it or identifying that intimacy piece in early childhood, that attachment, is really important for my clients.
Mm-hmm. And hence the name of your website and the programs you do. Tell everybody a little bit about your programming and kind of the different levels that you use with clients.
So I'm going to let Josh kind of explain more of the details, but what he was talking about at the beginning, like during COVID, all of my clients obviously went to Zoom. And I feel sometimes as an individual therapist, you know, seeing a client 1 hour a week, it's a lot. It's a lot of information to try to give them in 1 hour. And I came from a residential treatment model, you know, where they were 7 days a week, a lot of groups, a lot of educational process groups. And I knew, I've always known, you know, we have this recovery kit, but as an individual therapist, I felt super overwhelmed by it. Like, I would open it and be like, I don't even know where to start, and I pulled it back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would refer a lot of my clients to these outpatient centers or residential treatments. And during COVID, Josh was like, we could do this, you know, like, you can do this. So he really, you know, helped me and encouraged me a lot in, like, doing the videos and breaking it down, and that's one of the things that we offer. Is kind of like a outpatient on Zoom, you know, with groups, with individuals, with the support. But really, he was definitely, he's the marketing piece and the organizational piece behind all of this, and doing a lot of the coaching work with, you know, the more day-to-day coaching work that I wouldn't be able to do. So you want to tell them a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I realized that the need was just so incredibly great.
Right.
And it was either spend tens upon tens of thousands of dollars, which I have friends and family members and people that I know who have had to do,
mm-hmm.
to relatively good success or mixed success. They're definitely better than no treatment at all, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most people that needed it could not afford to do it, wouldn't be able to leave you know, their station in life as husbands, as wives. And so I thought, hey, this would be great if we could get something that was similar to my own experience in rehab, because it was a fantastic experience, to be able to do that for other people online. So group, psychoeducational, being able to process things individually, and, you know, dispelling shame, like, right away, you know, and really getting into the work.
And I think also the way that you communicate with the therapist who refers, so that it's not, it's really a, like, a community, you know, trying to help this one individual or this one partner. So the level of communication between the referring therapist and Josh or myself really helps give that feeling of, like, we're doing this as a team. Because a lot of times I know as a solo practitioner, I always kind of felt, you know, lost sometimes. Like, yeah, I could go do a supervision session, but it's easier if I have someone to just talk about the same file. So I think that was also really helpful, like the team aspect of the program. For individual.
Okay. Right. Let me get this straight, though, real quick. So you created, is that your remote program?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you created this program that's like an intensive, but it's a solo program. You don't throw 10 people in that same program at the same time.
No, we do. It's eight people per group. But each person has their own individual therapist, and they come to the group together to get the educational, to do the group therapy, to go through the recovery circuit. So they're doing the core dialogue, they're doing their exercises. And after the group, Josh will communicate with, you know, each of the therapists and say, hey, so-and-so processed this. And, you know, they kind of have an open communication, open dialogue about what each person is working on in group.
Got it. So then this lasts how long? You know, I mean, the groups are how long, and then it goes how many weeks? And
yeah, so it's 9 weeks long. Really, it's eight with the first week, which is really introductory, just getting people up to speed on how the website works, how we interface, making sure that they've, you know, sign consent for us to communicate with their therapists, making sure that, you know, they feel comfortable with what we're doing. And then we work through modules.
The groups are an hour and a half.
Right. And I meet with guys individually for about 45 minutes. And then, of course, they're seeing their so it's required that they're seeing their CSAT therapist once per week.
Okay. And is this during the day? Is this at night? Is this every day? What's the time commitment?
So the groups have been on Sunday evenings, which has been great.
Right.
Because it's kind of a way to, you know, get ready and prepare for the coming week and also process and remove any of the difficulties or shame from the past week. And, you know, they generally meet with me on Thursdays. And, of course, they have all of their homework and their psychoeducational video. And it's a lot of work. It's, you know, it is the equivalent of, like,
treatment.
It's 25 hours of work minimum.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the way that Josh started up, like, since he's the techie part, you know, when they go online and do their work, it'll show Josh whether they've completed it or they haven't completed it. So he can hold them accountable, you know, if they say, oh, yeah, I'm done my work, well, it, you know, it hasn't shown up here.
I got those courses, too. I know. They give you a little time clock. Oh, he's only looked at a quarter of it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So there's no BS. I mean, if there's BS, you catch them on it. That's sometimes a part of addiction. It's that deceit and that not really committing to the process. That's surrender, which is task number three of Patrick Carnes. Surrender to the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think another great thing about the program is that it has, like, a partners section as well, right, if they want to, because a lot of times the partners feel lost. You know, the addicts come in, they're in therapy, they're getting help. If they're doing well, you can tell, and they're starting to feel better. Partners can sometimes resent that. You know, like, you have these groups to go to, you have people to talk to, and I can't even tell my sister or my best friend. It's so sad to see how isolated they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a facing heartbreak workshop a while ago, you know, that was recorded and edited so that the partners can have that, you know, and if they wish, they could go through it themselves as well.
So that's a 14-week program, and they're able to go on and work through facing heartbreak. And see the question answer sessions that Charlene has, you know, each week with the group. And, you know, it really makes partners feel a part of and not alone very easily, you know, at the click of a button, which is kind of, you know, different. So it's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and, you know, the beautiful thing is that you got the therapist who's also a sex therapist, and then you've got your recovery coaching, which, let's face it, it is so wonderful for people to be able to get that accreditation so that they can see anybody all over the world. You're not tied to, oh, our intensive is only for people in Michigan or Miami or California. Really, so people that are interested, they can go to your website, Return to Intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right? Isn't that Marianne Williamson's book?
Well, it's Return, the number two, and then intimacy.com.
That's right. That was
her book is Return to, I don't know, actually. Return to Yesterday.
Maybe Return to Love. I don't know. But
yeah, that's right. That's it. Return
very
to close.
Love. One of my favorite books. Okay,
yeah.
So they can go to returntointimacy.com, which is your website, and they can check out, I know I don't want to say this on the air, but the truth is I tried to check it out today, and for whatever reason, I couldn't get any of them to open up. But you checked it for me?
I did. And you know, after the show, I will make for certain that it's loading. Basically, what it happened is we started the Kajabi course site, and then there was the original site, which is WordPress, and getting them to behave was difficult, but you know, we're working it out.
Right. Well, I was doing my homework, but I love the three. You've got three different programs here. I mean, you have the Patrick Kearns program, you've got the intensive, or I can't remember remote intensive work or something. Basically,
Ehab.
Okay.
It's an
Ehab. So tell our listening audience, you call it that because?
Because it's delivered in ones and zeros electronically. So being able to connect through the web really became essential, you know, during COVID. And, you know, it's a modality that works. Mm-hmm. Works very well.
Well, and I know our listeners can tell that these are two people that are destigmatizing sex addiction. You know, so oftentimes when you tell somebody you're in this field, they go right for pedophilia, and it's so much more. Although I was just telling somebody yesterday, although that's a different ballgame, it still falls under sex addiction, you know. It's offending behavior. Now, what do you do to ensure confidentiality?
Well, for the course, we have releases signed. Everything is done through double encrypted Google services. You know, all of the communications are encrypted, and yeah, there are releases for all of the communications that we have with the therapists.
And can I ask a really personal question, but it's not about you two. Can they keep their stuff forever? Can they go back through some of the coursework that you've given them?
Yeah, so I make it available for roughly a year and a half afterwards. And
beautiful.
The reason is some of them feel like they could have done a better job getting through things. And it is very brisk. You know, and I want them to be able to go back and make sure that, you know, things are great. So, you know, I'm perfectly fine with keeping people in there, letting them do it because, you know, they've paid for it and they really deserve that type of care.
Right.
Yeah, that's important too. Like, unlike regular, you know, rehab where you're done with your, you know, 9 weeks or 12 weeks and then you're done. I mean, some places have aftercare.
Mm-hmm.
Josh really does, because of his and mine, but he's the one, you know, doing the Ehab part. His main goal and his main, I know, desire and what's in his heart is to help. you know, to really help these sex addicts and be there. I mean, sometimes I have to tell him, hey, you need to back off a little. Mm-hmm. You know, it can't
such
become
a giver.
Yeah. But if they're done with their, you know, 8-9 weeks and they want to stay in the group, they can. He opens up another group. So he'll never say, okay, it's 9 weeks, you got to go. Because it's not, it's like you said, number one, they did pay, you know, for the service. They got what they got out of it. But, you know, we've heard the opposite of addiction is connection, mm-hmm. you know. And that is, I forgot who it was that said that on that TED Talk, but it was incredible because that's really what he wants to offer more than anything. And that's what I think most of these guys get. I run a regular men's group as well, just a support group. That I've had guys in there for like 6 years, you know, they're not even really talking about sex anymore. They're talking about their life and their issues. And that connection, especially for men, mm-hmm. they don't get a lot mm-hmm. on the, you know, the normie, mm-hmm. quote unquote, way.
They have never experienced that type of intimacy
or have even ever experienced it. Right.
Well, this is exciting stuff. I was just saying before I came on with you two that I have my first ever book study group that goes through help them heal. And so I'm asking couples to come in, and it very much feels like it's going to be an intensive, it isn't, but it's a weekly 90-minute session on how to do the group and what is going on in your life. And, you know, you two are so motivated to be helpers and to be there, and you've got such diverse and incredible experience. Now, how can they get a hold of you? What do they need to do? I mean, you've got a couple of videos on there from hell to heaven. And yeah, I mean, you just got a lot of stuff going on. Tell them what they can expect.
So ehab.returntointimacy.com, and they will see an overview of the program, a little bit about our story. You know, for the most part, it's kind of laid it out there.
They can also call us.
So there is a phone number on the website. They're welcome to call. They ever have any questions.
Okay, very good. And how long have you been married?
Address.
I'm sorry.
Say that again?
How long have you been married?
14 years.
Wow. Now, you know, I am envious of a couple that can work together as closely as you do. I mean, it seems like it doesn't just double the empowerment, it quadruples it.
It does. And he is definitely, I am, and Marie-Lee, you know, can attest to this because I've been supervised by her in the past. I am more of a, like, behind the scenes, mm-hmm. you know, like I just want to do my therapy. I don't want to be, you know, like, the face of any of this. But he's really helped me kind of come out of my shell, do these podcasts, which I don't necessarily mm-hmm. do a ton of either. But it's important, and I had to remind myself, if my true desire is to help people, then I have to kind of walk through some of my own fears, you know, and be able to get the information out there. But Josh has been extremely helpful with that, and the 14 years of our marriage has really also shown that couples can work through anything. You know, this hasn't been an easy 14 years by far. We're in therapy. Mm-hmm. I'm in individual therapy. He's an individual where you do couples therapy. And I am the type of therapist that will self-disclose that's appropriate. And I find that that is so helpful for my clients because when they can hear that I'm an addict, I'm the partner of an addict, we're still married, you know, things get better. Mm-hmm. I'm trained. You know, it's just, it's a lot of components that they can relate to, they can identify with, and it's like, okay, yeah, and she's a professional also. She knows what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. But it's helpful. You know, it's helpful to give some real life experiences as to this is what it's like living with an addict. Even if he or she is in recovery, it doesn't mean it just goes away. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of little traits that rear their ugly heads throughout a marriage.
So let me ask you, because we have to wind up now, do you know of any other programs like this in the country?
Not online.
That's
no.
what I meant, online.
No, not online, which is why, you know, that was a big reason why we did it.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations, because it's innovative. It's it's so supportive. It's psychoeducation, but it also sounds like it has a component of therapy. And Josh, you do a good job on Thursday of rounding them up and talking about things and sharing with your love of trauma. Obviously, you're looking at this from different perspectives. Now, you said, I can't remember how you said it. So you've done the courses, right? I mean, you're the face of the courses.
Right.
Yeah, I am too for all my books. And then, do you have a podcast?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, you guys should consider it.
I've been dying to get her to do it.
I could feel that, Josh.
The main reason that we started doing it, it was because I thought she needed to get out there because as a clinician, I've seen her work. And I've had many therapists. I've been in therapy most of my adult life, and she is incredible. And I know that she doesn't feel that all the time, but I wanted a way for people to be able to see the way she works because it's so honest and so loving, but at the same time.
Well, she doesn't really have that iron fist. You just heard her earlier. I kind of have that iron fist, and she's like, well, Carol, really? I go in from a different perspective, the perspective of childhood issues and trauma. And that just radiated. So thank you both one more time. I would love for you to look at their course, see if it's a fit. They're open for lots and lots and lots of different questions. It is return, and then the number 2, obviously 2, intimacy.com. And at that point, if you have more specific questions, you can give them a call. Their number's at the bottom of that website. And keep me posted on that upcoming podcast you two are going to develop. And
I want to add one more thing as I was hearing you due to the closure. This course is as much for addicts and partners as it is for therapists.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, because it's kind of how it started, it was for me as a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to have somewhere, like let's say Josh, wasn't my husband, to be able to have somewhere that I trust to send my patient to where I don't have to do all of the work, right? I could send them there to do a weekly group, work on some of the recovery tasks that are in facing heartbreak, have that kind of recovery coach during the week, and be able to communicate as a therapist, that would have been an incredible tool for me because I felt so overwhelmed, me just being alone with, a caseload of 10, 15, 20, however many, different therapists see. So I just wanted to make that point that it really is as much for the therapist to be able to have that adjunct support as it is for, any sex addict or partner that's listening to and say, hey, I want to call for myself.
Well, thanks for that add-on. And so we have a lot of therapists and coaches that listen to the show. And so you can check that out, too, because it sounds like it will enhance their skills.
Exactly.
And they may end up putting people into your program because they like what they see, right? I mean,
right.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
And hopefully their clients get the goods, and tell other people that their therapist is amazing.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Good to see you. We'll catch up at the next symposium or the next one. When, like I said, when your podcast is up and running, call me and I'll have you on the show to talk about it.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. See ya. Bye. So obviously, two very committed professionals that have a variety of skills to offer you. Well, guys, that's it for me. If you are a professional and you want to join the IRCM team, I got an IRCM workshop coming up, 3.5 days, April 10th through the 13th. We'd love to have you. And you'll learn lots and lots of things about yourself, about your clients. You'll work them through as a couple, safety and stabilization, that grief process, that anger phase, and right over there, the post-traumatic growth. So So go to my website, Sex Help with Carol the Coach, and check that out too. Only this time in the drop-down box, it'd be for professionals. Hey, as I always say, there'll only be one of you at all times. Fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. We'll catch you next week for more Sex Help with Carol.